Come into this place in the name of the Lord to sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord, the Almighty. Would you stand as we do just that, hymn number 14. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The Lord be with you today. As we gather in worship, we extend a word of welcome and greeting to all of you, especially to those who are visitors with us today. And we encourage you, if you would, if you'd like to take a visitor card that you'll find on the back of the pew in front of you, and you can fill that out and place it in the offering plate today. It'll help us get to know you better. We also want to lift up thoughts and prayers for those who are traveling this weekend, long weekend from school, and want to think about those and their safety and their enjoyment as they are away from us. Today, a few of the things we want to remind you about. First and foremost, we had a wonderful stew, a lot of turnout, a lot of people helping, a lot of people eating. Those are all good things. But we still have some stew in the refrigerator upstairs, and Amy will be able to help you get your stew. If you've already committed to purchasing some but you haven't picked it up yet, you can do so today. Also, if you haven't purchased any and you'd like some, I can testify it is good. It is good. So God is good, and so is the Brunswick stew. So I'd encourage you to get one of those for yourself and your friends and family. And also, I want to invite Alec to come up and share a little bit about what the RAs are up to right now.
The five ties that you see out in the vestibule are not a Halloween prank. Let me get that clear. It is time again for our RA Rum Ambassador Ugly Tie Contest. And you get to vote for the ugliest tie. Now, how do you vote for the ugliest tie? Very simple. Find what you believe is the ugliest tie, and it's a tough decision. Trust me, I know it is. I've already tried to go through that myself. Find what you think is the ugliest tie. Drop loose change, cash, any amount of money you want to donate in the envelope below the tie. The money that we raise go to Laura and Carson Fushi for their ministry in Japan.
Thank you, Alec. And Mason and I look forward to wearing one of those ties next week, right? You ready?
Nope.
Me neither. But please support RA Royal Ambassadors and also support Carson and Laura as they continue their ministry in Japan. Now we turn our focus to Psalm 90 this morning. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Everlasting God, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You are eternal. And this psalm just reminded us that our time here on earth is short. So Lord, help us to use our time more wisely and for eternal good. And today, open our eyes and our ears so that we may hear you more clearly. Fill us with your spirit so that we may celebrate your glory and worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Please stand for our hymn of praise, "O God, our help in ages past." It's number 74 in your hymnal. Please stand.
Our shelter from the storm.
Good morning. As y'all may know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And here at First Baptist Elon, we have lots of things and people to be thankful for. So today, our prayer revolution focus is on our staff. We had invited Janice and her husband to be with us today, but unfortunately she is sick and could not be here. But we still want to include her. Mason, David, Laura, and Janice. God has truly blessed us here at First Baptist Elon by bringing each of you here to serve God and to minister to us and with us. Mason, we're excited to have you beginning a new chapter at First Baptist Elon with you and your family. We are looking forward to our church, how our church will move forward and grow in our service to God. David, we are so thankful for you and for your leadership and service to us, especially with our youth and our seniors and during our recent transitional period. Laura, the enthusiasm and love that you have for God and the way you show it in the direction of the choir and the children's ministry and the women's Bible study is contagious and makes us want to join us as we seek ways to serve God. And Janice, if she was here, she's the woman who knows everything and keeps us all on track. And for 20-plus years, she has graciously answered our calls, fielded our questions, and directed us to the right resources. She has truly ministered to us all very well. Please remember to lift up all of these ministers to us in your prayers daily, so they will fill our love and their families. Now, if you'll please join us in prayer as we thank God for our staff.
Let us pray. Lord, we want to lift up Janice to you today, dear Lord. She's been a great servant of this church, dear Lord. As she walks with the staff every day, dear God, touch her, love her, be with her, dear God, as she has done a great job, and we know that she will continue to do that.
Lord, we want to lift up Laura to you today. We just thank you for the music and the ministries, and thank you for just filling our souls with the very joy that you give us daily.
Thank you, Lord, for your servant David Durham. We thank you for the godly seeds that he has planted in so many of our youth, and thank you for his faithfulness to our church and for being a steady presence over the last 2 years of transition.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for leading Mason and his family to this fellowship at First Baptist Elon. We ask that you continue to bless him as he leads us to do your will. We as a congregation are thankful for Mason and all staff at First Baptist Elon. Amen.
Please stand for our offertory hymn, "You Are My All in All." Please stand.
Seeking you as a precious jewel, not to give up, I'd be.
pray. Father God, as we come to this time of our service where we lift up a portion of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, we just ask that you use our gifts this morning to further your kingdom, not just in this city, not just in this county, this state, in this nation, but across the world. We turn over a portion of those to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Join me in a word of prayer. Oh Lord, for our nation, for our community, for our congregation, we pray that you would bring leadership and healing, hope and wisdom, and life. And for all those who are hurting today, those who are struggling with sicknesses and diseases, we pray for healing and your will. For those who are struggling, Lord, spiritually, we pray that they would find the peace of Christ. that they would find the life to the full. We pray, Lord, for this very moment. For there are some of us who need to hear messages more than the others. Lord, we stand amazed when we hear your word and how it speaks to our soul. Perhaps, Lord, there is something that you would say to me. Perhaps all of us would be the one saying, Lord, is it I? Is this day for me? Is this word a word I need to hear? We confess, Lord, that often we do not listen. We confess, Lord, that often we do not expect to hear anything from you, nor do we expect you to work in the world. Forgive us of our unbelief. Strengthen us, Lord. We stand on the promises of the gospel. We stand on your mercy and your grace and your love. Help us to have a deeper faith, a more honest commitment to you, and to have the energy and the will to follow your will always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. A single verse. Train children in the right way, and when old, they will not stray. God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his word. Thank you. Our scripture comes today from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite of Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali in the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. The Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. He was buried in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his burial place to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His sight was unimpaired and his vigor had not abated. The Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses was ended. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Never since has there arisen a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. If we were to ask, what is this passage about? Well, it's about 12 verses. But beyond that, it's about Moses. And it's about Moses' great example of leadership, the authority with which he ministered. This tells us a glimpse into the whole life of Moses, the incredible workings that God did through him to save a people, to establish a people. And in many ways, we can read this mournfully. We can sense the dramatic grieving of the people as they think about what a loss. There's never been one like Moses before, and there'll never be another. There's never been one with his charisma, his energy, his vigor. It's amazing to read that even at his old age, his vigor had not abated, not even his eyesight, that he was still strong to the very last moment. There's a sense of mourning here, though, as well, when we realize that for all that Moses did and said, and all that Moses accomplished through the grace of God, he never got to see his work completed. He never got to go in face to face to the promised land, but only to gaze at it from a great distance. Thank God his eyesight was still good. But there, looking at this promised destination, what sorrow must have filled his heart. But I think hope was there also, don't you? The hope that there was another generation that would make it. There was another generation coming after him that would see this final promised destination. And they would taste the milk and the honey, even if Moses himself would not. And so I think about that in terms of our lives that we live day after day. That many of us work hard to reach a goal we know we'll never reach. But there's a little bit of hope that maybe the next generation will get there. At the same time, we mourn the loss of those great figures in our world, in our lives, and we say, there'll never be another fill in the blank. There'll never be another person like that. But when I read this passage, the one verse that stands out to me, and perhaps it's the one that's often overlooked, But the one that seems to be the most vital and speaks so loudly to us in our lives is actually verse 9. Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And the Israelites obeyed him, doing as the Lord had commanded Moses. Was he Moses? No. But that image that Moses had laid his hands on this servant, Joshua, and that Joshua would rise up and become the leader of the people, and that the people would follow Joshua. That even though Moses would die, the mission, the ministry, the vision did not die with him. Think back when you were a kid. Every one of us has been a kid at some point. Some of us still are. And when you were a kid, was there not that job that you were not quite old enough to do? And did it not bother you? Maybe you had an older brother or sister, and they were always the ones who got to do that job, and you never did. Or maybe it was a job that mama always had to do, or dad always has to do. I find myself doing that even now as a parent. Well, let me finish that part. I better take it from here. For me growing up, I had two older brothers. And when it came time to do the yard work, there was a pecking order, a hierarchy of things that we were able to do. My oldest brother got to drive the lawnmower. And that seemed like just an amazing thing to just be able to ride. I don't know what I imagined it would be like as a child. I think I thought there was air conditioning and just like driving a go-kart or something, but it mesmerized me, and I wanted to be that person. I wanted to be the guy on the lawnmower. But I also envied my other brother, who's only 14 months older than me, but he got to play with the weed eater. Now that thing was like the motorcycle of yard work, right? And he got to use that or the push lawnmower, and both of those things seemed like big time for me as a little kid. But as the youngest, as the baby, you know what I got? I got the wheelbarrow. Pick up the sticks. Dump the sticks. Do it over again. Pick up the sticks. Dump the sticks and do it over again. And I remember just throwing a tantrum and my mom saying to me, "Well, son, you can't just start out with the lawnmower. You have to work your way up." It seems like that statement has stuck with me through the years, that we don't just jump right into something like driving the lawnmower. You have to work your way up to it. You have to be nurtured into it. You have to be trustworthy with the little things before you can be entrusted with the big things. And I think about that with Joshua, wondering, where did it start with him? He was not born the leader of the Israelites. He did not just become so overnight, even though there is this clear defining moment where Moses has passed and is no more. And then this side verse, Joshua, son of Nun. But it wasn't overnight. We know that. We know that by this phrase. It says Moses had laid his hands on Joshua. What is that? We see it in ordination when we get to stick our hands on people's heads and pray for them. But that's just a symbolic act. It represents the reality that has occurred in that person's life over a long period, that step by step, people have nurtured them, invested in their lives, mentored them, modeled good ministry for them, and got to that final moment where we say, "Now you are ready." That's what it means when it says Moses laid his hand on Joshua. He had invested in this young man from day one because Moses was wise, full of wisdom, and knew Moses ain't going to be around forever. And so he invests in Joshua, teaching him, training him, giving him a little bit of opportunity here, a slightly larger opportunity there. Joshua works his way up to the weed eater and the push mower. And if Joshua's like me, he kind of regretted going up the ladder. But he was on his way, and Moses was seeing to it. This is, I think, one of the great challenges of our society today. A failure in this model of investing in the next leader, investing in the next servant, investing in the next person who will carry the charge and see the vision forward. We spend far too much time mourning that there'll never be another one like Moses, and far too little time making sure there's going to be a Joshua. Who are you investing your life into today? Who is your Joshua that you are laying hands on and nurturing and building up? Because could you imagine if there were no Joshua? The story would end. The people would be lost. No doubt if Moses had just died without ever investing in the next person, there would have been quarrels, fighting, disillusionment, distraction, dwindling as some families went this way and some went that way. My God, it sounds like we're describing the modern American church, doesn't it? I had a conversation with somebody over this past week, and they were sharing with me something that Tony Brooks, who's a church health specialist in Virginia, has observed and written about. He writes about churches and communities and civic clubs and all of these organizations that are so benevolent and good. And at one time, it seemed like after the Second World War, they boomed with energy and excitement. And now they're falling away. They're closing down. And they're running out of steam. And he observes, I think rightly, says Brooks, that the failure has been a failure of leadership to pass the mantle to the next generation of leaders. That there has been a great failure to say to this young person, you know, now it is your turn. That often that is about control. It's about, I want to stay on the same leadership position. I want to be the politician forever. I want to be the chairman forever. I want to be the leader forever. But I would challenge Brother Brooks that it also goes the other way. And there's a failure of the younger generations to step it up. Yes, Moses had to lay hands on Joshua, but Joshua had to let him. He had to be willing to step up and step out on faith and assume this new responsibility. One of the great problems of my generation is we're afraid to do it. We're afraid to take the realm, the reins or the helm. We're afraid to step out on faith in a place that might be difficult or challenging. And so I would say that there's been a failure on both sides in America today. It's not just a church phenomenon. It's a nationwide phenomenon where leaders in those positions of influence do not influence the leaders for tomorrow, and the leaders for tomorrow refuse to admit that they are the leaders for tomorrow. What a tragedy. Who is your Joshua today? You know, this meddling pastor, he always asks you if things like, well, if you were gone tomorrow, what would be missed? What would be left undone? Well, today, my question for you is, if you were gone tomorrow, who would be the next you? Who would be that Joshua? Who are you investing in right now through mentoring, through care, through love? You know, maybe your children are grown and out of the house, but other people have children. And if you're a parent, you can vouch for this. Brother Tommy can say something that will be the same thing that I say, but they don't listen to me. They listen to the brother because he's not family. those children, those young teenagers, those students, those young adults, they need your investment, your commitment to them. They need you to lay hands on them and to give them a shot. Starting small, but getting bigger. Many times when we look on the news and we see people who are involved in gangs, or there's been a shooting or a robbery, or someone's become a drug addict or an alcoholic, or we look at poverty and we look at all those things, they say, why can't they just get it together? But you know what the truth is, and this is real. 9 times out of 10, that person doesn't have a Moses laying hands on them. They're on their own. And if they don't have a Moses laying hands on them and mentoring them and investing in their lives, then whose fault is it? It's not their fault, it's my fault. And it's your fault. It is our responsibility. Who is your Joshua, son of Nun, today? Pray for one if you don't have one. And God will give you what you pray for if you ask for it in Jesus' name. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to become a people who invest in the lives of others, who train up a children, a generation in the right way, so that from it they might not stray, just as the proverb declares. Help us to be a people who mentor and nurture new leaders, new servants, who invest ourselves fully and faithfully into the lives of others. And Lord, for those of us who are being invested in, who are having hands laid upon us, help us to be a people willing and ready for the call, to be like your servant, Joshua, ready to step up and step out on faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is, Lord, I need you. Would you respond to God's word today as we stand and sing?
Where you are, Lord, I am. am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
I speak for all the staff when we say thank you. We appreciate the love, but it doesn't smell like stew. Would you receive this benediction as we go? Would you pray with me? May the God who takes time to invest in our lives inspire us and send us to invest in the lives of others. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.